If you were not in the service this morning, you need to get the message and listen to it. Very timely message for us, and I want to add a little bit to that tonight and go in just a little bit of a different direction, but I want to go to the book of Haggai, and I know you know where it's at because you've probably been reading there this week. Right before Zechariah and Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah right before it, 700 years previous. Haggai right before Zechariah. Haggai. Amen. Say amen when you get there. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and brought and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain, and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house. Everybody said the house. Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel... And history tells us Zerubbabel was the one that oversaw the building of the temple. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Praise God. And if you're not careful when you read the Old Testament, you will read it in a chronological order. And you will read the book of Nehemiah back further. You'll read the book of Nehemiah before the book of Psalms. But the dates that they were written and the time frame that they were written are different than the chronological order that they are written in. And the book of Haggai was written at a particular point in time. But the important point in time that I want to look at tonight is the book of Haggai, and then we're going to go to the book of Ezra. So before you sit down, find the book of Ezra, put your finger there, hang on to it, because we're going to get to the book of Ezra, and we're going to look at it here tonight. But I want to title this, it may not seem like it makes any sense at this point, but I want to talk about after deliverance, amen. Because it's not so much that we are delivered, but it's what we do after we're delivered. It's not so much that it is a tremendous thing that we receive the Holy Ghost, but in the scheme of long-term things, it's the will of God that we develop the fruit of the Spirit. It's what we do after the fact that is important. It is what we do after salvation, after deliverance, after the victory comes, after the miracle takes place. And I want to preach to us here tonight, and I don't intend to preach a long time, but I want to deliver what I really feel that the Lord put on my heart this week. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the truth. Ask you to anoint the Word of God. Ask you to speak to our hearts. Touch us. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to see all of you here tonight. You may be seated. Amen. And we have to go back a little ways in history. If you will just stay with me, you history buffs will follow with me, and those that could care less about history, do your best to pay attention. I'm not going to spend a long time on history here, but we must go back just a little bit because there was a point in time in the life of the nation of Israel that they fell away from God. And there were prophets that came. The prophet Isaiah came. There were many prophets that came and spoke of the coming of the Babylonians and spoke of Assyria that would come down from the north, the Babylonians that would come from the west, or rather from the east, and they would carry away captive into their land the people of God. The main prophecy, if I would say this, if I could say it this way, was the prophecy of the carrying away into Babylon. Much is recorded in Scripture, and much is recorded in the history of the Jews about the carrying away into Babylon. They fell away from God. They sinned against the Lord. There was civil war that took place in the nation of Israel. Rehoboam and Jeroboam fighting against one another. Two tribes joining with a league with each other. 10 tribes joining with a league with each other, and then warring and fighting against each other. It had really spiraled downward into chaos, into civil war in the nation of Israel. Not only had it gotten to that place, but it was even worse than that. And that is that Israel had spiraled down away from God. And they had begun to worship other gods. They had begun to fall away from the Lord, even after coming through the Red Sea, even after the great deliverance of Passover, the great miracle of manna in the wilderness for 40 years, a rock that followed them, and plenty was given to them as they wandered through the wilderness. There was something about these people. God spoke about them and said they were stiff-necked and they were hard-hearted, and they could not seem to get a handle on spiritual things. They were like sheep that had gone astray, and they did not want a shepherd. They were told by the prophets, rather, that the Babylonians would come, and that when they came, that they should not resist them, but surrender and give themselves over to the Babylonians, because in 70 years they would be coming back to their homeland. This was the prophecy that was brought forth for them. And yet, even in those prophecies, there were those that rose up and fought against the Babylonians. They were destroyed. They were killed. But those that listened to the prophets of God were carried away into captivity into Babylon. There are many, many things that happen in the course of the history of mankind. Many things, and some of them, most of them, and a few of them are very, very important as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. Bible prophecy in their days was the Babylonians are coming. Get prepared for it. It's going to happen. And in the time period that was ordained of God, they were carried away by the Babylonians. And here they are now in Babylonian captivity. During the time of Babylonian captivity, the Persians and the Medo-Persian Empire came and destroyed and overthrew Babylon. And so you have a crossover in the Word of God. You have a crossover when you're reading Scripture about those that were under Nebuchadnezzar, like Daniel. And then you read where they're under Darius, king of the Persians. And it's simply because the Medes and the Persians came and they overthrew Babylon, and those men were still captive. It seems like sometimes in life that things are completely out of control and God is not anywhere and God cannot be found. But I'm telling you, God is involved in this old world. Amen. And more specifically, God is involved in your life and in my life. He knows where you're at and He knows where to take you. Praise God. He really, really does. It may seem like Washington is out of control, but God's not out of control. It may seem like our world is spiraling down into moral impurity, and it is way down already, and I'm not really sure how much further we can actually go because we have gotten so far down in our moral impurity here in America. Amen. I thank God for a church of holiness. Praise God. I thank God for a place where we can hear about holiness and purity. Amen. Our world is saying it doesn't matter, but it does matter. It does matter how you live your life. It does matter to your future, to your spirit, to your heart. Amen. It is something that helps us all along the way. Praise God. And so Cyrus, the king, decided... all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to him as though it was some great revelation, but it was 70 years from the Babylonian captivity that all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, but it wasn't out of the clear blue, it was God Almighty moving upon this king of the Persians and the Medes, and he said, I want to follow the direction of God Almighty. And let's look at it here in the book of Ezra, chapter 1. In the book of Ezra, chapter 1 and verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is therefore among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. A declaration went out here in Ezra chapter 1, and this was at a particular point in time. I didn't write down the actual day or the actual year, rather, that it was supposed that this took place. But let's just say that was X. Amen. And I'm sorry for not getting that, but I believe it was something along the lines of 446. Or no, I'm sorry, 456, I believe it was, 456 B.C., that this proclamation was made. And all of a sudden, one day, folks woke up and everything was different. All of a sudden, one day, things were changed. Praise God. All of a sudden, one day, they woke up and a miracle had just taken place. Did you hear the news? Amen. The king made a declaration. We're going home. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. All of a sudden, there's a declaration out of nowhere. And they didn't expect it. They didn't realize it was going to happen. Maybe some of them that were schooled in the Word of God and in the prophets, they understood what was going to take place. But even then, when the day come, friend, they were joyful. Don't tell me they weren't joyful. They had suffered under the Babylonians, and now they were taken over by the Persian Empire, amen, which is modern-day Iran. And you can see why there's still turmoil in that part of the world. It's always been that way from the very beginning when Abraham had Ishmael and then Abraham had Isaac. There's always been a conflict between those two nations, amen, or those two people. And so it's this way with God. You know, when you look in the Word of God, it seems like it is so hopeless. And it seems like there is no way we're ever going to make it out of this situation. These nations are too powerful. We're their servants. There's no way we can escape. And if we did escape, where would we go? They control the whole world. It's almost like the book of Revelation where it talks about the Antichrist. And it says, who can make war with the beast? Amen. He's so powerful. He's so strong. We're seeing the forces of evil rising in our world. Just the other day, the leader of Russia declared that they have a hyper missile that no system can take down. And some of our military officials looked at it and they said he's absolutely right. He has a missile capacity the missile goes so fast that we don't have anything that can shoot it down. And it is capable of carrying multiple nuclear warheads. Amen. And we're looking at the rise of dictators across the world. We're looking at the rise in China. Amen. We're looking at Xi, the leader of China, who has just been recently installed for life. Amen. He's basically now a dictator. And just a few days after that took place, they published a statement that all newspapers and news outlets are now under state control, and they have a new policy, and it is called unity of thought. Amen. They're going to have unity of thought in their country now, meaning that you have to think the way that we tell you to think. They just recently, a few days after that, began to outlaw any Bibles that are not approved by the state, and they are printing new Bibles that are communist Bibles. Did you know that? And they are making those the state official Bible. And if you're going to read the Bible, you can read it, but it's got to be the communist Bible. It's got to be with their propaganda and all of that. That's rising up right before us, right before our very eyes. Amen. We're looking at corruption at every level of our government system. Amen. We're looking at situations that are not good. We're looking at a moral situation in our country that has spiraled downward, and many believe that we've passed the point of no return. Amen. Unless God would intervene. Amen. If you have those feelings in your heart tonight, and you have those things stirring up on the inside, I want to give you a little bit of cheer tonight. God always steps in. Amen. When things look bleak, God always steps in. He's always there, and he works a miracle where it seems like nothing could happen. Amen. Amen. The Messiah came when the Romans were in control of Israel. They were an occupying force, and it seemed like there was no way out of the situation. But all of a sudden, the Messiah steps onto the scene. God appears and says, I'm going to save you. Well, praise God. Amen. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I'm telling you, my friend, God knows how to work his will in this old world. And it's up to us to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. It is up to us to pray, let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. There's a big scheme to all of this. There is a big plan, and we don't really understand that plan. Anybody that tells you they do, you need to look at them with a skewed eye. Amen. Because his ways are far, far above our ways. Amen. And they fell into this Babylonian captivity, and then Ezra comes onto the scene. Cyrus, the king of Persia, says, go home. I'm going to give you gold. I'm going to give you silver. I'm going to give you materials. I'm going to give you animals for work. Amen. And I'm going to provide the free will offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Amen. The house of God had not been built yet in Jerusalem, but he was looking forward to the day when it would be built. Amen. And I think about Israel now. Here they are. They are delivered again. How many times have these people been delivered by God? Oh, they were delivered from Egypt. They were delivered from enemy after enemy after enemy. They fought against the Philistines, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the rest of themites, and they defeated them. They established their homeland. One victory after another, after another, after another. Amen. God was good to Israel. God is good to Israel. God is good to his people. God is good to his church. Amen. But it is what we do with the blessings. It is what we do with the goodness of God that is going to make the difference in our future. Praise the Lord. God saved us for a purpose and a reason. First of all, he loves us. Amen. But second of all, he has an eternal plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. He made you and put you on this earth for a reason. Come on, somebody. Help the pastor tonight. Amen. It's not salvation so we can park ourselves on a pew somewhere. Amen. It's not salvation that we can just kind of come and soak in, take what we want, leave what we want, and go on our way. No, I'm telling you tonight, we are under the auspices of a great God tonight. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for me. He's got a purpose and a plan for our church. He's got a purpose for the church worldwide. Praise God. That's the kind of God that I serve tonight. And salvation came to us. How many times have we been saved? Well, I guess only got saved once. Well, just hang on. You'll need to get saved again. Praise the Lord. You'll need to pray through again somewhere. You'll need to go to God and say, God, I'm in trouble. Would you help me? And the Lord will come along and he'll help you. Praise God. You'll find yourself in a hopeless situation and all distressed. And then the next day, all of a sudden, the king of Persia makes a declaration. And instead of crying, you're shouting. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's the way it is with you and I. And I think of the story in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23. And he talks about the kingdom of heaven here. And he talks about the way things are. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He owed him over $1 million, 10,000 talents. And in our economy, it's at least $1 million or more. He did not have any way to repay the debt. He got himself in a bad, bad situation. And it was hopeless. It did not, there was no way he could ever get out of this situation. And folks, tonight, there's no way we're ever going to get out of this world without God's salvation in our lives. You can't climb over the wall, it's too high. You can't go under it, it's too low. You can't get around it, it's too wide. Amen. There's no way we're going to escape the reality that we will stand before God someday and we will give an account of the things that we have done in this life. Therefore, we should walk before Him in humility. Therefore, we should walk before Him and desire and seek for the mercy of God and to give mercy to others as well. Praise the Lord that it modify our life. It modifies the way we think. It modifies the way we live. Amen. Because I have a date with destiny. Amen. I have a date that is coming up. I don't know when it is. Amen. But just as Cyrus made a decree, there will be a moment in a twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to be standing before the throne of God. Amen. My name will be written in the book, or my name will not be written in the book. Amen. And it will be determined not by anything but what I do. Amen. Do I trust Him? Do I believe Him? Am I leaning on Him? Amen. Am I serving Him with all of my might, with all of my strength, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind? Amen. Or am I playing my little games with God? Hey, listen tonight, friend. Young person, quit playing games with God. It's not worth it. You can't come to the house of God one way and then leave and go back out there and go another way. It just won't work. Amen. There's a date that is coming in your future, some earlier than others, some later than others. But we're all going to face God and we're going to stand before the Almighty God. Some men's sins go before them unto the judgment. Those are the wise ones. And some men's sins, they follow after them. I don't want something chasing me down. I don't want something like sin following me through my life and following me all the way to the throne of the judgment of God. I want to take care of it at the altar. I want to take care of it in a prayer meeting. I want to take care of it by reading the Word of God. I want to take care of it right now by being faithful to the house of God and serving God with everything I've got within me. My friend, we're facing destiny tonight. Well, praise the Lord. We're facing God. We're facing eternity. Every day that we wake up, we're facing eternity. We're facing eternity. Amen. Had no way to help himself. Then, everybody said then. Then. Amen. Then the Lord, oh, the Lord of that servant, was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Party time. Amen. Just look upon the face of a new convert. Amen. And you'll understand what this man was going through. Amen. Just go back to the day that you received him into your life. And the joy and the thrill of salvation came into your heart. And the bondage of cigarettes was lifted off of you. And the bondage of drugs and alcohol was lifted off of you. And the weight of those sins, the heavy weight of those sins was lifted off of your shoulders. Amen. It didn't matter. Anybody could come along and talk about what was going on in Washington, but you had a faraway look in your eye. Amen. Folks could come around and talk about what's going on here or there and so on and so forth. When you're all done talking to them, they'd say, man, I can't wait for church to come. Amen. I can't wait to get to the house of God. Wonder what the pastor's going to preach tonight. Wonder what the singers are going to sing. I can't wait to get my feet a-going in the aisle. Praise God. Can't wait to get to the next prayer meeting so I can talk in tongues again. Amen. Can't wait to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some of you are looking at me tonight like Brother Johnson says, a cow looking at a new gate. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, that's the way it should be when we come to God. Did you hear the news? Cyrus made a declaration. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Hey, we get to go back to our homeland. Awesome. Man, praise God. Did you hear what's going on in Washington? Did you hear what's going on in the White House? Did you hear about this scandal or that scandal? Wait a minute. You don't understand what I'm saying. Did you hear what the king just said? We get to go back home. Amen. A new day has dawned upon our life. There's a new opportunity now. Amen. We have a new opportunity to build a temple for our God and to repent and to reestablish our walk with Him. Amen. And to do the right thing. What a wonderful thing it is. Praise God. If I was 30 years younger, I'd be shouting right about now. I'm shouting on the inside. I feel like it right now. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Praise God. Too many of us have forgotten the thrill of salvation. And we forgot what it was like when He said, you know what? I have compassion on you. I loose you and I forgive you. I forgive you of all of those lies. I forgive you of all of those sins. I forgive you of all of those things. I just forgive you. I loose you. You don't owe it anymore. That $1 million debt is gone. It's gone. Right, Pastor, right. Yeah. Well, praise God. It's gone. Oh, my friend, I remember when I got baptized, I felt like I was walking 3 feet off the ground. Amen. It didn't matter where I went, there was magic in the air, it seemed like. It didn't matter what was going on. I'll tell you what, when I got the Holy Ghost, amen, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait for the next prayer meeting. Amen. Couldn't wait to get a key to the church so I could go there and pray. Amen. I just couldn't wait. Amen. To hear my pastor preach. I didn't want to do anything but just soak up the truth of the Word of God and that beautiful, beautiful experience of freedom. Amen. That beautiful experience of freedom. And it's a tragedy. We're living in a free society, but there are so many that are bound that need to be set free. Oh, God, help us here in America. Amen. This man rejoiced, went home, probably had a big party. Amen. He was so happy. That's the natural reaction. But what happens after salvation, amen, is so very, very important. What happens after the debt has been loosed? What happens when now the past is all behind us and now we can go from point A onward? Amen. What's the first priority? What is our first moral obligation? Well, this individual got it wrong because he left the presence of the king, amen, and didn't do the right thing. I'm not going to go off into what he did why it was wrong, amen. But I want to show you tonight the will of God and ultimately what can sidetrack us from our calling, amen. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the king of Persia. I wanted to read that again. Amen. Because he was now in control of the world. Amen. If it was going to happen, it would have to be a miracle. But my friend, God specializes in performing miracles. Out of the clear blue from the pages of Scripture comes a mandate from God. Send them back to their home. Let them build the house of God. That's what the mandate was. Go back to Jerusalem and build the house of God. I'll give you the materials. I'll give you the money. I'll give you the horses and the oxen. I'll even give you what you need to do for sacrifice. Praise God. I'm going to provide it all. And if we could go back to the day that we were filled with the Holy Ghost and our sins were washed away in baptism, if we could go back and listen just a little bit closer. Amen. If we could go back and think again what our first love was, what our first desire was. Oh, I've got to tell a friend about this, and I've got to bring them and let them feel what I've been feeling here. Amen. Oh, I've just got to get involved and do something to build this thing up, because this is the greatest thing in all of the world. Now, I may lose some of you here tonight, but I'm telling you, the mandate was not to go back to Israel and get your crop started again. The mandate from God was not to go back to Israel and take all of the blessings and build yourself a beautiful house first. Amen. But he said, go back and build my house. Go back and rebuild the temple. Go back and put it back in order again and get the sacrifices going. Get the prayer going. Amen. Get the move of God going again in the country of Israel. Because without me in your midst, you're going to fall right back into the same situation again. Well, somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you here tonight, the mandate from God is still the same in our generation. Amen. Build the house. Build the house. Build the house. It is the will of God that we build the house and we get a passion and we get a burning desire down on the inside. Amen. Well, it's in rubble. There's trouble. There's problems. There's situations we're going to face. I'm telling you, God said, I'm going to give you all the gold you need. Well, praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. God said, I'm going to give you all the silver that you need. I'm going to give you the materials. I'm going to give you everything. Hallelujah. I come against doubt and belief tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to believe God till I can't breathe another breath. Amen. God put me here for a purpose and a reason, and that's to build the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. God put me here to be a laborer in the field. Amen. To bring in a harvest for Him. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I can just imagine the decree comes and they make the journey from the east to the west. And as they're going back, some of the ancient ones that lived in Israel were still alive. And they came back with the rest of the group. And so there was Dad, and then there was Grandpa. And they all went back. They all went back. Amen. And they said, Grandpa, we remember you telling us about that little brook that flowed through your property. I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see, Grandpa, where you said you built a little fort back there and you played with your friends. I want to see if that's still there, Grandpa. And so they made the journey, the long journey back to Israel. Praise God. And they went back to their places. And they saw what had transpired over the last 70 years. And of course, they had to eat. They had to get on with life, in a sense of the word. Amen. And they said, you know what? We're supposed to build that house, but, you know, let's take a week. Let's take a week and do something different. Let's clear that rock pile over there that the Babylonians set up. And let's just clear that out. And let's make that part of the property look a little bit nicer. Yeah, my house is still there, but, you know, in the last 70 years, it hasn't been painted. And so we're going to take some time and we're going to paint the house. And then one thing after another thing and after another thing until Haggai comes onto the scene. And from, I believe it is, now I may be wrong with this, and if I am, I understand that. I didn't write it down. But Ezra is like 456 B.C. Haggai is 446 B.C. And so when we read to the book of Haggai, and I read it tonight, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, and he said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, verse 2, this people say the time is not come, the time that the house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord of the prophet, saying, amen. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? And I read the rest of it. Amen. We got to raise our family. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. In 10 years' time, they had come from the shout of the declaration of Cyrus, king of Persia, and the thrill of going home and the excitement of going back and establishing a temple to God. 10 short years had transpired, and they were already saying, oh, it's not time to do that. We've got it on the schedule, and we're going to put it together down the road somewhere. But right now, we've got some other things going on here. Right now, there's some more important things that are taking us away from this right now. And in 10 short years, amen. And I read in Haggai here, and it's almost as though the Lord is throwing up his hands and saying, seriously, I delivered you by a miracle, and now you're talking about this. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, the word that was given to Haggai was to build the house of the Lord. And I believe tonight the word of the Lord for us is to build the house of the Lord. Amen. Not time to focus our attention on the rubble of the past. Amen. But it's time to rally. I said it's time to rally to the cause of souls in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, God is still pouring out the Holy Ghost. I see it on the news. I see it everywhere around me. Amen. We saw it in our last revival. Amen. Two receive the Holy Ghost. If two can receive the Holy Ghost, four can receive the Holy Ghost. If four can receive the Holy Ghost, eight can receive the Holy Ghost. If eight can do it, 16 can do it. Amen. You may not believe this tonight, but God has all of the resources that we need. Amen. He's provided them. He's given it to us. Some of you know the Word of God as well or better than me. Amen. God has given you an understanding in the Word of God tonight. Amen. What are we doing with it? Are we just consuming it upon ourselves? But are we reaching out? Are we seriously taking the work of God? Amen. For what God intended it to be in our lives. Amen. I'm telling you, my goal is to draw the church close to God. Get ready, church. It's time to get close to God. I want us to get so close to God that there is a burning desire down inside of us. Amen. Just like it was in the beginning. I've got to bring somebody to the house of God. I've got to share the word of God with somebody. I've got to help somebody, amen, to hear the word of God. Well, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to focus our time and our finances on this effort. Well, praise God. This may disappoint some of you, but I'm telling you, I've come to the decision that I'm not interested in dinners for a while. I'm interested in people getting the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. My soul's desire tonight is to see people pray through in the altar. Amen. To baptize people in Jesus' name. Some are going to stay. Some are not going to stay. But I'm preaching to folks that have stayed. Amen. And if you stayed through the thick and the thin, others will come as well. And if I get 30, I'll get 30. If I get 60, I'll get 60. If I get 100, I'll get 100. But I'm going to sow the Word of God. I'm going to share the Word of God. I'm going to keep on teaching Bible studies. I'm going to keep on reaching out. Amen. I'm just preaching tonight what I feel in my heart of hearts. I'm not ready to give up. Amen. I'm never going to give up. God has given me a mandate. He's performed a miracle in my life. And I've got to do something with it. I've got to do something with it. I've got to do something with it. It's time to pray and fast and seek the Lord. It's time to fast and pray and seek the Lord. It's time to fast and pray and seek the Lord. That's not going over very well. But it's time to pray. Folks, it's time to pray until we get that fresh new burden again. Until the Lord is real one more time. And it's no longer just another church service. Oh, but it's another opportunity to meet with my God. It's another opportunity to touch Him one more time. It's an opportunity to look upon the field one more time. Tomorrow morning I'm going to be out and I'm going to be looking upon the field. And it is white, all ready to harvest. Amen. I've got plans to give away another Bible. Amen. I'm going to do it here in the spring. Never done it in the spring. You say, well, you did it last time and nobody signed up. That doesn't matter to me. Amen. I'm going to be a sower of the Word of God. I'm going to get involved in God's plan because I know when I get involved in God's plan, it always will work eventually in His time, in His way, in His plan, in His purpose. Praise God. Did you hear me tonight? It's time to pray. You need prayer in your life. Amen. Your children need your prayers. Your family needs your prayers. Amen. Our church needs your prayers. Well, praise God. It's time for worship. It's time for thanksgiving. It's time to reach out. Well, I hope you're hearing the Word of God tonight. It's not time to backbite. It's not time to criticize. It's not time to point fingers. Amen. But it's time to come together. Amen. I feel like the prophet Haggai tonight. Amen. It's time to build the house of God. Because if we don't, we're going to earn wages and we're going to put it into a bag with holes in it. And our finances are going to waste away and we're coming down to nothing. But I'm telling you, if we'll sow the Word of God, there will always be a harvest. There will always be a harvest. Amen. When the wall was built, or they built the temple, Zerubbabel built the temple. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Amen. When Zerubbabel built the temple, now you have a temple, but you have no city around it. You have no walls. Everything's been torn down. And another period of time passes. Another period of time passes, and you go back to the book of Nehemiah, and it's years and years down the road, Nehemiah comes along. When they built the temple, there was difficulties, of course. When they built the wall, just read the book of Nehemiah and look at all the trouble that they had. Few workers, had a sword in one hand, a trowel in the other hand. Criticisms, oh, it's all going to fall down. It's not any good. What you're doing isn't going to work. So on and so forth. But Nehemiah, the great leader of Israel, he said, I've got my face set like a flint. And I'm going back to what God called us to do. We're building a wall here. You know why? Because it's not enough just to build a temple. You got to build some walls. Because the walls make way for prosperity. You can't have prosperity when the enemy comes and takes everything that you build up. And we feel like that sometimes. We build up, and the enemy comes and takes it away. Amen. But Nehemiah came and built a wall so that there was prosperity. Praise the Lord. I may never see it in my lifetime, but God has greatness for this church. God has a long-term plan for this church. And some will look back and say, I remember the days of trouble. But here we are in the days of revival. And they built the temple, then they built the wall, and they established another kingdom for God. Amen. They established the work of God. I guess I should say it that way. And when the house was built and the wall was built, then came the prophecy of Daniel. He said, from the time of the declaration, Daniel's 70 weeks comes into play. And he said, for 69 weeks, in 69 weeks, 69 times 7, all of those years, 483, I believe it is, 483 years, there's going to be a Messiah that will come. 483 years, that's a few generations down the road. But they would have never, ever had a temple ready for their Messiah had not there been some people way back in their history that saw the value that when they were delivered and they went back home, their focus wasn't my home, my garden, my crops, my children, our clothes, our food. But they went back, and they went back with a purpose. They went back with a call of God to build the house. And there were some that were wise, I'm sure, that said, I'm so thankful for Ezra. I'm so thankful for Zerubbabel. I'm so thankful for Joshua, the son of Josedek. I'm so thankful for the high priest that wasn't caught up in this, that, and the other, but he had a single focus. We're going to do the words of the prophet, and we're going to build the house of God. Can we just pray right now and ask the Lord to help us? Can we pray right now and ask the Lord to help us? We're not going to build anything by tearing each other down. The only way we're going to build anything for God is to come together and to work and to labor in the kingdom of God and to do my little part where God puts me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How long have you been in the church? What's happened in 10 years? What's taken place in 10 years in your life since the miracle took place? What's happened since that day, if it's 20 or 30 or 40? Where are you tonight? What's your focus tonight? What's your plans? Oh God, help us. Help us right now. Can we pray one more time? Come on, church. Let's pray one more time in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. We need your help and your strength, O God. We need your help and your strength, O God. We need your help and your strength, O God.